The Great Gap has been breached, and now Labrat Tales is taking over for Malin this week. Yes, cable 12 is missing because it didn't work. I mean, cable 11, but we have 12. So, welcome to the show. Right now I'm queuing up a very special track. Let me tell you what you just listened to. We started off with some Mothers of Convention. Zappa told us all about Electric Aunt Jemima, really special track off of a folk compilation. And then we had The Primitives with Crash. It's a good song. I play it. It just kind of wakes us up for the beginning of the show. And right now, we're going to hear a song off of Bjork's new album that I have actually not played, but we're going to discuss it after we hear the song. It's called Virus, and it's pretty much a love song between a virus and the cell that it's inhabiting. But first, let me let you know that the following exhibits will be shown at the Harn Museum, located on Southwest 34th Street and Hull Road. Contact 352-392-9826 for info. We have the open engagement, which is Strategies in Art, Love, and War, through August 12th down at the Harn, and also Verdant Earth and the Teeming Seas, the Natural World in Ancient American Art, and that is through November 4th. And now, without further ado, we have Virus by Bjork, and I thank you for tuning into this special abbreviated Lab Rat Tales, and we'll be right back. All right. Well, welcome to the show. That was Bjork with Virus. And I have a special guest who's adjusting his microphone. This is Dr. Hayshon Grasshopper. How do you say that last name?
Ilongkun.
Ilongkun. All right. And I'm Amanda Kristen Vaughn. BS. But
soon to be PhD, maybe?
Yes. Ideally. But yeah, are you doing well today?
Yes. Happy to be here.
Good, as am I. So did you, I don't know how much of that song you could really hear through these speakers in here, but did you enjoy that song?
It had a good vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice flow.
Yeah, it's very light. I think I just like how she's bringing a love story to a microscopic level. It's like, you know, this virus that has somehow inserted itself into the cell, all against the cell's will, has fallen in love with the cell in a way. It needs it, it wants it, but it doesn't necessarily agree with everything that's going on inside the cell.
It's another wonderful example of art meeting science and helping kind of teach science to a wider audience.
I agree. And I think the more perspectives you use to look at different scientific processes, the more you're going to understand it and it's going to be more seamless. You know, you just got to integrate your life and what you do. But yeah, that song is really special because I think some relationships could potentially be like that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's some parasites out there. Watch out for them, people. But regardless, so...
And viruses too.
Yeah. Watch out for viruses. I just got a vaccine today. It didn't hurt like I expected. The kids before me were wailing, and I was really scared, but it was all right. So I have a little bit of the virus in me right now. It was meningitis, of all things. That's cool. I won't get it again. I didn't say that on the air. Okay. So today I kind of wanted to talk about some advancements, modern advancements in technology, because my knowledge is pretty limited, and I think that Grasshopper here could facilitate a lot of understanding, because, I mean, pretty much, I'm all about where art and science are meeting, because I think pretty artistically, and when I can understand and grasp science with that artistic mindset, I'm set free, I'm pretty set. So this sculpture artwork is potentially made by computer programs, and it's known as 3D printing, and you can make cellular models, you can make cross sections, and you can also make interactive probes, essentially, that you can use as models that I think some Mac programs can actually read and follow the movements of, and you can perform molecular reactions through the computer program, through your camera, actually. Had you seen this one before? Never.
That's the first time I've seen the interactive modeling. It's like they call it augmented reality of molecules, or of, these are proteins that I guess they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And
crystallography.
And they use a 3D printer to create the models, and in each hand you have the models, but on the screen you're actually looking at the electron density, the charge densities, and it's really neat because it just maps the electron density as you move the models around.
Wow. And so it's just predicting where the electrons will be polarized to in the different positions in space.
Yeah, and that's how a lot of molecules act on how enzymes act on molecules and their substrates is they find these pockets that are almost like a lock and key.
Mm-hmm.
And they get attracted to these pockets, and the enzyme will perform a reaction, and a different molecule will pop out.
Mm-hmm. And essentially the attraction's formed because we have a positive and negative charge being drawn. If you think ionically, it usually will make more sense. That's just kind of the beginning of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But what sort of like applications would drug companies use this,
So when you're looking at this sort of structure, what you're looking at is like these blue areas versus red areas, and you'll have a molecule that want to go in and be that perfect lock and key and lock fit. So what you want to do is design a molecule that will go in, but will stay there a lot longer and perhaps not even get manipulated by the enzyme. And when you do that, you find a drug that stops a particular enzyme from doing a particular task. And when you accomplish that, you have a new cure for something, mm-hmm. or you increase someone's quality of life.
I do agree that it is technically a cure. I just somewhat wince at that because it's like, can't we cure a step before or two or three steps before that point? But I guess it still is, the end result is a cured patient. I just feel like we could somehow go back to the root of the issue or whatever the... For me personally, I'm sorry, I get all flustered without explaining myself, but I worked in a cancer lab for 2 years and we weren't ever really examining the full model. We were just looking at the results and like directly relating the enzymatic patterns of people who have cancer and not really looking at how it led up to that, what the life decisions they made that influenced that. It was more just making up, fixing something that had already gone bad.
Yeah, people, I mean, some people make lifestyle decisions that the simple fix to it would be taking a pill. For example, I just saw a commercial about eat anything you want, just sprinkle this product on it and you will lose weight.
Turns it into liquid and then it comes out through your digestive system.
Pretty much. I'd want to think it just like prevents your body from absorbing the fat.
Or the nutrients.
I mean, fat-soluble vitamins go right through your system that way. But going back to working in the cancer lab and looking at one little part of the cancer problem, that's a big thing. Not looking at the entire picture and everything else that's going around. There's a lab that's in the news recently that they've created a model of an entire cell. So now they can probe the cell for different diseases, shall we say. And look at the interaction between all the mechanisms in the cell, not just one little enzymatic pathway. It's pretty revolutionary. So you're looking at research now that can be done in computers instead of on the bench.
So is it pretty much an organization technique above all other? Like just finding out simple steps, filling in the blanks, storing it on a computer, and then the computer filling in more blanks for you, kind of?
Correct. The computer will end up showing you all these other... like they call them cascade events or other molecules that get
nucleating complexes.
Yeah, things like that. And it's just so much more than one single lab generally looks at when they're tackling a particular issue. So this new technology will enable, light years worth of research to be done in much shorter periods of time as it gets better and better, as the technology gets better and better.
And as researchers, we're really just having to keep track of patterns that are occurring and, you know, using those patterns as tentative laws and then observing them occurring in different places using the same mechanism. So a computer can probably do that much better than we can anyways. And that's hard for me to say because I'm not a big fan. But.
Better efficiently. Yeah, especially just number crunching wise, they'll come up with really neat things faster, and you might end up looking at a problem from a whole different perspective once you let a computer take a look at it for you.
I like that, and maybe if you parallel with what the computer is doing, also.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're gonna take a short music break, but we'll be back with more talk. I think we're gonna play some Grimes because. I like Grimes, and I got it on vinyl, so here it is. This is Be a Body. And thank you for tuning in to growradio.org. And thank you, Grasshopper. We'll be back, though. You're not done yet.
Thank you. like a case of anthrax, and that's something I don't want to catch. No, we'll get you like a case of anthrax, and that's something I don't want to catch.
All right, you're listening to GrowRadio.org. This is Lab Rat Tales, and we just heard Anthrax by Gang of Four, which was preceded by Grimes with Be a Body. Speaking of Anthrax, what do you know about Anthrax, Grasshopper?
It's an interesting bacterium.
Bacillus anthrax.
Anthraxis.
Oh, that's wrong.
Oh, it is.
Well, I don't know. The magazine doesn't seem to know Latin very well. We're reading The Scientist over here. It's some new release of a layman's version of scientific journals. There we go. Bacillus anthracis. They just forgot one Latin phrase. So, yeah, it actually forms in the lung, and that's where it attacks. And as everyone knows, there was an outbreak of anthrax in the mail. And you actually said...
At the
American Media Incorporated. It was a facility in Boca Raton, Florida, where your father works.
Well, he was doing some contracting work in the building, Literally got a notification that he was in a building that had anthrax contamination, and they brought him back down. And I mean, there were hundreds of people out there, kind of standing in line and getting, I believe it was Cipro. Prescriptions.
Yeah, extremely strong antibiotic. Beware when taking said drug.
Yeah, some strong stuff. But
yeah,
antibiotics. I mean, sometimes simple things like bleach are pretty good.
Yeah. So this new technique that they're using to fight against things like anthrax. And I say things. Which type of bacteria was it focusing on? Was it like gram negative, gram positive?
It was on another bacillus strain, bacillus thuringiensis.
Thuringiensis. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a relative, but definitely not anthrax itself.
Yeah.
I mean, anthrax is interesting. I mean, you can go dig in the soil, and you'll find some.
Is it the amount that makes it so dangerous?
Like, yeah, when you
high quantity.
From what I understand, it's when you culture it and you make and you actually like get it in spore form. Mm-hmm. You can make it airborne. Once you make it airborne, it becomes an issue. So
travel to your lungs.
Yes, you'll actually find people who make drums, like actual animal hide drums, and you'll find it in the wool industry. People that work with animal skins, animal furs, and so I mean, you'll hear stories about people coming from Africa buying a drum or a tambourine that has an animal skin on it, and the spores naturally occur on there.
Anthrax spores, wow.
Yeah. And so they start playing it, and they just bounce off the surface into the air, and someone breathes it in.
I mean, is it completely fatal?
It's
pretty
bad.
It just causes lung failure pretty much.
You will die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty... Untreated, you will die.
So, yeah, they're using, apparently, silk cocoons, or silkworm cocoons, rather, bleaching them, and they're effective against these highly dangerous bacteria.
Yeah, so people are looking at new methods of creating new fabrics, new materials to
trap the bacteria.
To be actually naturally antibiotic, I think. Natural. Mm-hmm.
Like wool.
I don't know.
Yeah, wool is actually an antibiotic, but I don't believe it's as strong as these silkworm cocoons. They're a little more concentrated. Yeah, yet another reason to invest in wool socks. I love wool socks.
Nice.
And the smart wool ones that you can get at Brazington's, which is next door to Hogan's. I'm always plugging Hogan's.
Good place.
Yeah, it is. You can get 97% wool socks there. And the 3% that's synthetic allows for you to wash them in the washing machine. You don't have to do any special drying technique.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And they're very breathable. You can wear them in the summer. But the antibiotic factor is pretty cool. You don't really need to wash them.
Huh. And it's natural.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. I mean, how do you think sheep take care of business, I guess? they stay clean out there. But yeah, just... I guess bleach is a little... Is kind of... it's just really strange because we have it lying around our house. Like, everyone uses bleach for so many different applications of cleaning and washing, and it's at the same time used in research all the time. Like, we make really dangerous viruses in our lab, and then we just use bleach to get rid of it before we dispose of it down the sink.
Kills them all.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff. Just make sure you don't drink it on accident. That's my biggest caution. Wow. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess stepping away from this, these heavier, but they're not really that heavy. They're just interesting new applications in science. I like this magazine because it's kind of tracing some more simple techniques that scientists and researchers are starting to use. It does also trace the use and effects of medical marijuana and how it's helping people. And, you know, the legal battle doesn't make it easy, but it is actually a really good treatment for cancer, for the side effects of chemo and that, what have you. Did I tell you actually about, as an option, as another version of chemo without actually having chemo, you get similar effects. You can just load yourself up with flavones, if you're a cancer patient, obviously, such as curcumin, green tea extract, and what was the other one? Curcumin, green tea extract, and I want to say celery seed extract. And if you consume mass amounts of this, you pretty much have the same... It will arrest the cell development, the tumor cell development, in the same manner that chemo does.
Another reason why curries are good for you.
Yeah, yeah. This guy likes curry so much he puts it on his pasta. That to me is just crazy.
Oh, it's tasty.
I don't know. I'm a very, like, traditional pasta consumer. I like some marinara sauce, maybe a little meat sauce if you're going to be risky.
No, I've seen you put peanut butter on your pasta.
Oh, no, that's noodles. That's totally noodles. Different. There's I would have curry noodles, but, like, curry pasta, the texture of the wheat is totally different to me. Durum wheat or semolina wheat in the pasta versus, like, soba noodles or udon noodles is what I put the peanut butter on.
Right on. I kind of go both ways. I just...
Yeah. It's a pasta product. I totally dig. I kind of want to we're going to play some music, but when we come back, I kind of want to talk about the science of astrology and any sort of foundation scientifically that astrology could potentially have, because if people don't have any sort of scientific foundation for understanding astrology, I'm not going to invest one more minute in reading another column about what my future holds. So without further ado, this is a track by the Pixies called Caribou, a beautiful animal indeed. We'll have a couple more tracks for you, and then we'll be back with our astrology talk. Thank you for tuning in today. Yeah, growradio.org. You're listening to GrowRadio.org, and this is Lab Rat Tales edition of MythBusters. We're going to crack down on the truth behind the zodiac, and I'm talking about not the Chinese zodiac, but the astrological. What is it? I guess American zodiac, the astronomer's zodiac. It's definitely not the Chinese one, so I know that.
I really do not know.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. We don't know, but regardless, it's It's the zodiac as we know it in this country, and scientifically, I just want to demand a call out to the public, demand some truth behind astrology, like why everyone buys into it, and it is so distinct from astronomy, and why can't these two be merged in some sort of harmonious research endeavor? I don't know why not. I don't. It's frustrating, but. Any ideas that I have? You said that people in Sri Lankan culture are actually named based on their place in the zodiac.
Yeah, so we have kind of a zodiac system of our own. And when you have a child, you record where the child was born geographically. Mm-hmm. And
longitude and latitude.
Yeah, and then the time of birth, date of birth, and... you're given a certain set of syllables that you can use to create a name, and that's kind of like how we do the naming in our culture, but it's also thought to influence pretty much how you develop.
And I think, brain development in the womb mostly, because the brain is going to control how everything else is developing. But yeah, so I'd like to think that it's potentially just the forces of the universe, and especially with what you were talking about, that this place and time of your birth being significant. That's what I actually did recently to determine my moon sign. So your sun sign is where you're born. This is how we organize it, at least. Your sun sign is when you're born, just the time of year. And your moon sign is where on the world, where on our planet, at what time, with the exact consideration of where all the planets were in space at the time of your birth. So that's your moon sign. So then you have both sides sort of coexisting and collaborating to make up who you are personality-wise, according to astrology, that is. And when I determined what my moon sign was, which is actually Scorpio, I realized it's actually very congruous with my personality, more so than the sun sign. So the exactness and the measures and the units that were used to determine that were very interesting to me. Like entering in numbers into a computer in terms of the location of my birth, yielding some sort of analysis of my personality, was fascinating. So I want to understand it. I demand an astrologer, if they exist out there anymore. I don't know. You need to hook me up with one. You work with space people.
Yeah, but we're all astronomers and astrobiologists, and
we need to bridge the gap. A little communication.
A little communication.
I mean, apparently scientists have a history of being a little snobby about astrology and being dubious of it, of its importance entirely. But whereas we have cultures that are actually naming their children based on it, I think that must be significant.
Yeah. That's the good old ancient ways. Mysteries of the universe.
Yeah. Look to the stars when you don't know what else to do.
Sometimes you just gotta wonder if, like, our ancestors might have known a little bit more than we do today.
And maybe we're spending too much time in the basking in the glow of the computer screen and not really just looking at things in a more simpler way like they did.
I mean, we can't even look at the stars these days if we live anywhere near a metropolis. It's almost unknown. Step out and you go get out to, say, Alachua or something.
It's a whole new world.
Beautiful, beautiful art in the sky.
And to think about that, just imagine being even more removed on Antarctica, what you would see.
The best sky I've ever seen, hands down. I mean, I thought it was Sri Lanka. You could see a nice, solid white Milky Way. But no, we were driving through the desert of Namibia and trying to get to Sossus Vlei in the south. Dirt roads, ran into zebras and God knows what on the road. It was amazing. But just had to stop at one point because the sky was so bright with stars.
How is everyone not full of sore necks all the time? Like, this
yeah,
is always
seriously.
Looking up, you know?
That's all I would do.
Yeah.
Over there, it was amazing.
That's beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah.
The most impressive stars I saw, not nearly as cool a story, but it's still a cool story, was when I was on a volcano, actually, which was weird, but I just felt like I was high enough that I could, like, I don't know, we were on an island in the Aeolian series of islands that are above Sicily, but I just felt like that was more removed for me than I'd ever been in terms of big cities, and it was really beautiful, I guess. Yeah, Bermuda had some good stars, too.
You had some elevation there, too, so you get some...
Yeah, the elevation definitely helped. Hello. All right. So I'm going to play you guys two last songs. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Ilan...
Kun.
Ilan Kun. All right. I knew
it's
I was
a pleasure
part of
to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you for the invitation.
I just call him Grasshopper. It's easier.
Yeah, much easier.
So thank you for listening to the tale of Grasshopper and a Panda. And now, without further ado, this is a Thai track off of Thai Pop Spectacular, which is one of the releases of Sublime Frequencies, a great label for compilations and different cultural samplings. And then we're going to close it up with some Animal Collective. Thank you for tuning in on growradio.org. And stay tuned for New Day Rising. Thanks. Thank you.
ำปากซอยน้องนักขายส้มตำหนุ่มแท็กซี่รูปหล่อและหนุ่มสามล้อมาอุดหนุนประจำแต่คืนนี้ยังไม่เห็นพี่มาแต่คืนนี้ยังไม่เห็นพี่มาหรือว่าพี่ยาเปลี่ยนที่กินส้มตำส้มตำน้องคงไม่อร่อยไม่เหมือนแถวซอยสุทธิสารตรอกสามหนุ่มแท็กซี่เลยเพื่ออัดไปติดสาวเนื้อที่ขายเพียงคำหนุ่มสามล้อก็ไม่เห็นมีแววหนุ่มสามล้อก็ไม่เห็นมีแววเคยมาจีบเจ้าเจ้าแต่คืนนี้ยับงำแม่ค้าส้มตำอีสานหัวใจไวหวั่นเสียหวนแต่หัวคำหนุ่มแท็กซี่ไม่มากินส้มตำหนุ่มสามล้อก็ไม่มาเยี่ยมยามแม่ค้าส้มตำหน่อยใจเรือลาสว่างน้องเฝ้าเนมทางแต่ไม่เห็นพี่ชายเคยส่งเคยรับกลับบ้านคืนนี้มิ่งควันเป็นอย่างห่างหายหนุ่มแท็กซี่ที่ไม่มากล่ำกลายหนุ่มสามล้อบนก็จางห่างหายมันเจ็บในใจเด้ไม่ค่าส้มตำจากเย็นกระทั่งจวนสว่างน้องเฝ้าเนมทางแต่ไม่เห็นพี่ชายเคยส่งจากซี่ที่ไม่มากล่ำกลายหนุ่มสามล้อมันก็จางห่างหายมันเจ็บในใจเด้แม่ค่ะส้มตำ